Earth Brass Band headlines. Also, New Blues, featuring Carly Sky, daughter of legendary blues artist Buddy Guy. Proceeds benefit the Mary Lou and Arthur F. Mahone Fund, promoting healthy lifestyle initiatives and educational and career opportunities for all students. Tickets at MahoneFund.org, a supporter of WGTD.
Support comes from the Racine Symphony, celebrating its 85th season with its annual gala at Wingspread, Saturday, August 6th. It's an evening of music, elegant hors d'oeuvres, and beverages against the serene backdrop of the Wingspread landscape. To reserve a seat or a table, call 636-9285.
WGTD's Morning Show. Insightful questions put each week to the nation's top authors.
Those are great questions. It always makes for a better interview, for at least for the author, when the interviewer has actually read the book.
You're such a good interviewer, my gosh. You really made me think. You really read the book. Yeah.
No other interviewer has really gotten into that. You really brought out some really great points.
Greg Berg holds the Morning Show weekdays after the 8 o'clock news, only on WGTD.
Support comes from the Racine Symphony, celebrating its 85th season with its annual gala at Wingspread, Saturday, August 6th. It's an evening of music, elegant hors d'oeuvres, and beverages against the serene backdrop of the Wingspread landscape. To reserve a seat or a table, call 636-9285.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning, listeners. This is Marlo Harmon, your host for today's Community Matters, and you are listening to WGTD 91.1 HD. And we have a special guest with us today. A few months ago, we actually interviewed the new Racine Unified School District board members, and there was one board member that has reached out to me several times. He's really interested in just making sure that we have some information about him and how he plans on working with the school board to add value to our public school systems in Racine. And so it is a pleasure to have Bob Witke with us today. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks, Marlo. I appreciate you having me on, as I've been stalking you for the last few weeks.
No, actually, as a parent of a student who actually graduated from the Racine Unified School District, and because I am a graduate of the Racine Unified School District, it is a pleasure to actually know that we have some board members that want to connect with community, want to connect with individuals, so that we are understanding their interest, their commitment to our students, especially with a lot of stuff that has gone over within the last year and the new elections that have gone on this year, period. So when you reached out to me more than once, listeners, I actually felt comfortable and confident to have you as a board member. So
I appreciate that.
I appreciate that. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background, because this is the first time that you've been a part of any school board, or is it just Racine School Board?
First elected office. I did try to get on the board a couple of different times when there were open seats.
Okay.
I did run, I think it was in 2013.
Okay.
I actually ran when it was one district, and out of the top three places, I ended up fourth.
Okay.
So I had a little bit of experience over the last. So my background is in accounting and finance.
Okay.
Excuse me. And I actually do corporate tax work. I work for a company called Corporation Services Corporation. Right. They're a very, very great company. That's our parent company. And I work for a company called CorpTax, Inc. We do corporate software for Fortune 1000 companies, tax accounting, tax compliance, sales and use, income tax, international. And I work with customers to implement our systems, as well as I'm doing some work now on some projects that are leading up to development of some of our other products.
All right.
And before that, I was in tax departments like Snap-on Tools, Modine Manufacturing. So I'm a I was born and raised in Racine, and I am also a graduate of Racine Unified School District.
Awesome.
Horlick class of 1975.
Okay.
And I graduated from UW-Eau Claire with a degree in accounting. And I kept going on, and I could give you 30-year work history, but...
Well, the fact that you are actually, a product of the Racine School District and the public school district, that is a plus. Going off of that, have you noticed any changes from when you were a student compared to some of the things that the students are experiencing now? Any significant changes? I can say that I've noticed some, but...
Quite a few. Well, what I didn't get to add on top of that is over the last 25 years, I've had at least one child in the district. I currently have two children in the district, and one will be part of the first class to go through the high school academy programs.
Oh.
And so when you ask what's different, I can give you some firsthand knowledge that there are quite a few things that are different.
Okay.
I think first of all is technology. Technology has advanced to such a point that everything is right now for the kids that are in school.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be social media, whether it be email, whether it be things that they get things immediate. And it's not like when we were in school and things were done a little, news was a little bit slower.
Right,
the emphasis
right.
was a little bit different. And I find that with that, I think it's opened up more things in the world. So kids are looking at things differently in the world. And the family structure has changed quite a bit.
That's true.
And that there are some, I think, some unfortunate implications to that because I think that when there's not the right family structure, and it doesn't matter whether it's traditional or whatever, but when a student doesn't have someone at home, doesn't have the support beyond the school day,
right.
I think it hurts where their achievement is,
and
how we solve that is more of a society issue than it is for the school district. But the school district has had to take on some of that.
A very good point.
And so, I see that. Otherwise, kids are still kids. They still come to school. I still have kids that don't want to do their homework. I can go on and on. kids are still interested in the same thing. Well, even another point, even like athletics has changed.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school and played basketball, football in high school, it was you were in the season and that was it. Well, now kids are playing AAU organizations. They're
correct.
Doing one sport. They're going year round with things, and so now they have other things that they're trying to do as well to a different degree than what they did before. And I think sometimes that may hurt. The area has become a little bit more impoverished. And
it has, yeah. Racine is their unemployment has continued to be among the highest in Wisconsin in this area for several years, one or two, and so, yeah.
Right. When I was in school, there was Walker Manufacturing was making mufflers here. Modine Manufacturing was had more of a manufacturing presence here than the headquarters that they currently have.
Right.
There wasn't the reliance on sometimes like the temporary work program that we have now.
Correct.
At some employers, those were full-time jobs. And one of my favorites, we used to call Bell City Steel and Castings. It was always called Bell City U because I went to Horlick. And a lot of kids graduated and went over and had – those were good-paying jobs. They were difficult jobs to do, but they were well-paying jobs,
right.
Creating things over there. That's no longer there. So with that, all of the struggles that we have now in the school district, some of them are aligned to that.
Yeah.
People don't have the jobs. They don't have the some of the social ills have creeped into a greater degree, and it's a real challenge to educate the kids in this day and age.
Now, when you ran this time around, you were in the district of who was the incumbent at the who was the incumbent?
We didn't have an incumbent. We were the ninth district.
Okay,
so we were the one that was added, and so I ran against Kurt Squire.
Okay.
And the district covers largely Caledonia and then all of Wind Point.
All right.
And so it was a little bit different because you're running in a smaller area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I should take that back because the area is a little bit more rural than me. It was still a pretty lengthy area, but the people were spread out a little bit differently. The only benefit I had was that I was born. I spent a great deal of time in the village of Caledonia.
Okay.
I was a resident there for 35 years,
right.
And then. We've been in Wind Point for about, I would say, 5 to 7 years. I found a house for the good deal, and so we moved a little bit across the border, not far from where we were at for a while. So I know most of the people there. My dad was the superintendent of the highway department in the village of Caledonia for 40 years, so I know a lot of the residents. I know some of the things that they're focused on.
And that is my next question. Mm-hmm. In your election, in mm-hmm. seeking your spot, what were some of the things that the residents said that they hope that you can accomplish, that you can bring about? Because Caledonia, almost from the news, I don't know personally, but from what the news seemed to have mm-hmm. said, they almost felt like they weren't really included in many of some of the decisions that impacted maybe their students. I'm not sure, but you seem like a personable person that you ask questions.
Yeah, well,
so what were some of the things?
Well, okay, so the number one thing that people in the village of Caledonia basically ask you is, do you support? They have a group that. Is trying to has gone through the process of getting to a point where there should be a study funded to see whether they should have their own school district or not.
Right.
The secession issue.
Yes,
that was a prevalent one. You know, how do you stand on that? And there's only one thing I'm for, and that's we've got right now 19,000 kids in the district.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how many other kids that we have, but we have. Kids overall in this community that mm-hmm. need to be educated. And if the best way for that is to see a new district put into place,
right.
then that's I'm not going to, stand in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that if the citizens got together, which they did, and voted on and put into place for a study to be done,
mm-hmm.
that study should be done so that we have, I believe that we should have the right information to make decisions and not just go by what some people think or what they don't think. However, one of the things that I think the community would prefer that we have one district
mm-hmm.
and that we continue to have one district of choice for a number of different reasons to make sure that everyone has the same chances and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the way it goes, I ran because I believe the board needs to step up its game in
right.
this community.
Right.
The board needs to lead. The board needs to govern. The board needs its sole focus to be on the kids.
And this
and
isn't
nothing
the
else.
First time you've ran either.
No, and it's one of the things I've always told people is that I use the system just like you do every day. Like right now, I have a hat that I have had to put in the corner because I've gone from a whiny, complaining parent to now as a board member, I can't go through that anymore
right.
like I used to. But with that, you as a parent, because you use the system every day,
yeah.
because you experience it, you go to teacher conference, you're around the kids, I believe that you gain things that when you sit down and talk about issues, that you've seen things that some others don't. And
mm-hmm.
you can see where you might need to, I think it's valuable in some of the conversations and so on with the work that we're trying to get done. But secession was a big issue.
And I think it's still a big issue, isn't it? Or
it,
is
well,
it
right,
not
well,
as
well,
much?
Well, we've got to remember, the election cycle hasn't started yet with
mm-hmm.
the legislature. So that will probably be an issue that will come up as we get into the election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
As I've talked with my other elected colleagues, I believe that this board has a chance to do two things. It'll
mm-hmm.
either be known for doing good work that really help continue to move our district ahead, that to improve our district. Otherwise, it'll be known as the Voyage of the Titanic, and it will end the district as we know it. Because once you start to look at whether a district should secede or not, you're going to end up with an unfortunate casualty, and that's going to be you're going to end up with a sole district in the city of Racine that's not probably going to be the benefit to those that live there. And so we really need to, I think, continue on to the things that the superintendent, the leadership team that she's got, that they're trying to accomplish now. And it's I focus on finding the things that benefit the kids.
And the kids are the key thing. I think sometimes we as adults forget that because we are trying to get our initiative or our agenda sometimes pushed through, that we'll forget that the underlying cause and value of all of it are the children and how they will benefit.
Right. And so, I mean, it's been interesting so far because a lot of the fallout from the election has placed people on one side or another.
Right.
They've been painted on one way or another.
Right.
And it's like, that's fine. That's for the public to decide. But the board really needs to set that aside. The board's job is to govern. The board's job is to build a solid relationship with the superintendent and the administration all the way through the principal level. And I think that sometimes the public doesn't see a lot of what's going on. One of the things that just in thinking about some possible questions, one of the things sometimes I hear a lot is, well, I didn't hear that, I didn't see that, we don't vote on that. I think sometimes the community feels that the board should be in management. You know, I'm not certified to be the superintendent. If I was, I'd want the job. it pays a little bit more than what a board member has. But that's not what we should be after. That's the management side of the fence. I think sometimes the community thinks you need to be management, and sometimes people elected want to be the manager. No, we have to lead. We have to set strategic plans. We have to set the vision for the district, and then we have to give, we should be giving the administration the framework for how the district should operate. And what has been happening, I think, over time is that, and I've seen this, and that's one of the reasons I ran, is that you'll notice that every time you read something, it's mentioned the superintendent, the administration is bringing this here. It's bringing a recommendation to do this.
Right.
Well, we, as a board, we should be establishing the framework. Do we want all of our schools to be K through 8? And that decision should be made on what the administration is, and all of our staff are the ones that are the best to tell us what their opinions are. There are things that we're working on now to help guide how we should operate. And one of the things that in the sessions I've had, there's a framework to go through where you set up and decide who are the people making the choices, what kind of design team do you need for a specific issue, and then who are the stakeholders and how do you want to communicate with them.
Right.
And that's after you go through and say, how do you want this to change? Why are you doing something? And then what do you want out of it?
Right.
And then what don't you want out of it?
Right.
And then you pitch that across to the design team, the people that have the most knowledge. They go through this. They get feedback from stakeholders and so on. They come back. Here are the options. You decide on the best option that's best for the district, and then you implement that. But you have to be in that to implement it without getting caught up in what someone else's special interest is.
Right.
And I think too many times we've been caught up with what are a few special interests or people shouldn't be guiding the decisions. The board needs to make some of the decisions without a lot of the influence from
outside sources.
And so I might as well just go through the facts, one of the things that is always brought up as well, it's a union versus administration versus...
It does seem like that.
It seems like that.
And matter of fact, because it seems like it is so union-driven, even the REA president, they've changed the REA president because they didn't feel like maybe he wasn't working in a way that was all-inclusive. I'm not absolutely sure, but even that has changed because it seems like union wants some change. Parents want change. I know that there's been a difference in academic levels and test score levels, especially among children of color, mm-hmm. Discipline as far as expulsions and suspensions. So something has to change, but it almost feels like it's like teachers against administration.
Yeah, and one of the things that I say is, okay, so if you look at this, there's a diagram with circles around it, and there's the board, there's the superintendent, there's the administration, which mm-hmm. is all the leadership team, principals, et cetera. Then there's the staff, the public, and other stakeholders are below.
Mm-hmm.
And what the board's job to do is to not get below the line. Okay,
right.
all of those groups have special interests, and so, for example, the union is there to represent a certain segment of our employees. I respect that;
mm-hmm.
that's fine, but that's their job. But when they get into being part of initiatives and so on, you have to check the union representation hat at the door and think about what can we contribute overall to getting a better educational choices and opportunities for
and
our kids.
Holistic, yeah.
And we've got to get away from the board, where there's a perception that the board plays, well, you're the overall manager, so you have to referee or you have to be the backstop to a decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's okay. I guess one of the things is the most difficult thing I think we'll have to do is to try to build decisions and do things in that framework so that we get 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plans, a facilities plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my colleagues can sit next to me, but a lot of them are multiple term board members.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have wanted to do things that hasn't gotten done.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've talked to a couple of my other newly elected members, and we're like, okay, that's in the past. It's not
right.
about blame. We need to move forward.
Right.
This community needs to move forward. I mean, there are so many. One of the most telling things that I encountered is to find out how many really great things go on, how many really talented people that we have in the district. Some of the first things that I did, I attended the Encore Awards ceremony, and that was that was for teachers that are going above and beyond
mm-hmm.
what they're doing. There's no, you don't check at the door and say, is this a union teacher, not a union teacher, what political venue are you from?
Right.
But the really great part of that is that, okay, so how did that happen? Well, when Dr. Hawes came here, that was something that was done in a district that she was part of. She brought that here to give them extra recognition. I found out that like having kids improve 3% a year,
mm-hmm.
okay, is something that is a very difficult thing for a teacher to maintain over an entire year. That's why change in education goes slowly, but if you keep it on the rise, you'll get to the points you have to have. But just seeing that there are a number of those teachers that are doing that in our elementary schools
right.
gives you such a positive feeling that things are going to rise. And I think sometimes the superintendent and her leadership team take a lot of bad press is because
they
want change. I haven't found people that are more focused on the kids, and it contradicts with some of where special interests are. And so,
and that's unfortunate because, again, at the end of the day, it's about the kids. Again, listeners, this is Marlo Harmon with Community Matters. You are listening to WGTD 91.1 HD. And we have Bob Witke who with us today, who is one of the Racine Unified School District board members. And so we are enjoying a great conversation with regards to what he hopes to see and what he hopes to add to the board to better the school district, period. So welcome again. Now, one of the things that has been talked about a lot is the block scheduling. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts about that, and where are we at in that process?
Done?
Okay.
Well, okay. This is a good example of something. Block scheduling is a way that an initiative or the way something is managed within the district,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's not something that a board votes on. It's not something that a board gets involved in.
Mm-hmm.
The board governs. So you have to look at, we would be looking at the piece that says we only have 78% of kids, let's say, or 70% of kids graduating at the high school level. We only have 60-some-odd percent or less of minority kids that are graduating at the same rate.
Right.
We have to solve that problem. So we need you to come up with options for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is the way this process is supposed to work.
Right.
And so what happened in the past and how this worked out, but people are focusing on one piece, block scheduling. And that's only a component of the larger initiative that's being done to implement the academies at the high school level, and we're trying to align. You're trying to align those things with the things that have been in the past, the measurements that are there in the North Star vision, that now have been expanded to also include a student socio knowledge, behavioral, as well as life skills, as well as academic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking at what can we do to put into place that will give our students more opportunity, that will make them career ready. Well, the academy program is part of that. Well, to run the academies, one of the best ways to, or one of the ways to do, alternatives to do that is block scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once you decide to go to the academies, it's something the superintendent, the leadership team, the staff, everything that went on beforehand decided before this point. We need to implement it. We need to implement it well.
Right.
And we need to do it so that the kids get the most out of that.
I agree.
I mean, you have to take a look at what's encouraging is I saw a film strip on the career day that they had,
mm-hmm.
with the number of employers that were down at the lakefront, with the number of kids that came through from the high school, over 1,000 kids that wanted to see, that were interacting
That's
with
awesome.
Employers. I mean, those are the things that aren't on the front page that should be. Let's find a way to make this work, and let's not get buried in who decided what, when, and where. Because I did this just for my own interest, because I hear people talk a lot about, well, I didn't hear this. Well, do you know that I went back, and I would tell listeners, if you really want to know what's going on, don't go read the meeting minutes or look at the board packet. Go back to the work sessions, because that's really where the discussion should come. That's really where the board sees a lot more detail than that's provided, and there's more.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to have more discussion about issues. And I went back to March 2015, and interestingly, there was a presentation on curriculum program review. That this one happened to be the gifted and talented. And you know, my understanding is before the current leadership team was in place,
mm-hmm.
that we did not have a structured curriculum review program, which we now have, which this past year put in place a new math curriculum that we're going to be that we should be excited about putting in place for kids. It's moving on to science and some others. You know, you find out that those are 3 and 5 year periods that you need to go through those reviews. But there was a talk about summer school update to all the programs that are affecting the kids. There was also a discussion on the initial Encore Awards ceremony. And the one that caught my eye, of course, was there was a report by the superintendent on the chats on school climate, which included what is working or what's improving and what the continuing concerns are from the teachers. Mm-hmm. So I hear a lot of talk sometimes that there's no interaction, there's no discussions. People need to understand there are a lot of things going on that you don't see. And even I'm surprised sometimes. I've taken part in sessions that the district is undertaking to put a strategic plan in place, and that is involving individuals from our community, the Guiding Coalition, Higher Expectations, as well as staff members, leadership, and as a board member, just there to observe. So
I think that there is a lot of communication. There is a lot of talk. I think that what some people are concerned about is, even though there's talk and discussion, sometimes a decision has already been made. So the talk and the communication is just formality, because they're going to do what is already planned to do to begin with. Now, the block scheduling. Mm. The block scheduling is great for individuals that are already disciplined, for students that are already disciplined, that are already able to come to school and stay focused and move through class to class and keep a longer attention span. Mm-hmm. So for students that are already doing well, block scheduling will assist them in developing those skills to continue to do well and be prepared for college. But for the students that aren't doing well, that are being left behind because they can't focus or because it seems like they're not able to connect with what is being taught or attention span because other things are going on, whether it's I haven't eaten or I have issues at home, then with block scheduling, it would seem like it would create an even bigger gap. And I don't know, for those that are saying that block scheduling isn't really all-inclusive, that's going to help those that are behind to come forward or to continue to build skills, I think that that's a challenge. And I think that that's what wasn't heard, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair point. I wasn't back then. You're right. You don't hear every conversation.
Right.
But then I would say there are a couple things. There may be some benefit to kids that are behind, because now, instead of giving you a 50-minute period and then tossing you out with homework, if I'm structuring what I'm doing and if we are developing our staff and working with them in a way that we deliver this properly, if as a board we're monitoring the higher level, that said, are we making the achievements we are? Are we supplying the teachers with all the tools that they need to be able to implement this properly? Are we giving administrators the right things to do things? It may give some advantage to those, because now you have let's say an hour and a half class period, maybe you can spend some time on homework or something that they wouldn't do outside of school.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll remain to be seen. You have to have the confidence that if we implement this right and support this right, that we have talented enough people within the district to get this done. And one of the things I know, there are some things that that we are investing in that will help. So, for example, one of the things you asked about constituents in Killeen, one of the things that you hear the most is, well, there's the behavioral issues in the school that take away from all the other kids that want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So they are investing in this next year. The preliminary budget shows investments in a new, for all the academies, putting in four additional administrators on site, which we term deans, that will take a more active role in taking on the discipline so that the other administrators that are there spend more time with our staff and teachers and making sure that we are providing the right structure for them. We are investing in community schools, in our mental health schools, trying to get things early. Yeah. So as a board, you should be looking at what are the results coming up?
Mm-hmm.
Are we starting to see the achievements coming up? Are we investing in the things that will bring down the that will shrink the achievement gap? It's about those measurements, and those are some of the things that we are beginning to talk about. Is do we have the right measurements in place?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at some of the ways to measure some of the other things, like the social aspect of development of a student,
mm-hmm.
some of the life skills. And I know that those things are being built into some of the strategic plans that are put in, so that everything is linked together,
mm-hmm.
so that we do that. I don't disagree with you that that you still need to be able to be to hear all voices, but at some point in time, we have to rely on what's been done by a number of people,
mm-hmm.
and then as a board member, you have to remember that you don't go back two or three terms when something may have come in.
Right.
You have to take it at this point and say we need to do the best we can and get it done
and move forward. You did mention with regards to one of the concerns being for those students that want to learn when there's a lot of behavioral issues,
mm-hmm.
a lot of discipline problems in the school. It makes it hard for students that are there to learn. But then there's also the concern of individuals that want to learn, and then there's the perceived behavioral problem. Because this last couple of years, the disciplining of minority students has actually increased. So more African American and minority students have been expelled, have been suspended from school. And one thing about discipline, it can be a subjective perception. I perceive that your behavior mm-hmm. is disruptive. I perceive that the way that you're talking to me is disrespectful. And that is a concern, because when you're not in school, you can't learn. And when you're not learning, then that idle time is actually being spent doing something unproductive. So the issue with regards to how do we address that so that all students are still learning? Because when mm-hmm. all students aren't learning, we collectively as a community fail. How do you work that balance from perceived behavioral problems to actual behavioral problems?
That's a huge challenge. Okay, so if I had the silver bullet for it, but I do see what we're investing in and what we're trying to do. We're fortunate in this district that we have some very good people that are working on the issue,
mm-hmm.
that are addressing some of the things. I've been around Dr. Galian for quite some time. This
mm-hmm.
is something that he's very passionate about,
mm-hmm.
that he is working through. Some of the things that we're investing in the current year is to find a way to expand programs that we can provide to kids with the most severe behavioral issues of whatever kind, so that
mm-hmm.
we make sure that they get the support and things that they need, as well as the kids that are in the that are there to learn and learn a different way can continue on, and then we can get the other kids back in so that it continues on for both.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fine line because there's a lot of perception that if you deal with one, you're missing another. The
mm-hmm.
thing is, you've got to take both and move both ahead, and we have to have specialized programs in some cases to deal with both.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, like I said, that we're looking at, there's a model that Dr. Galian's working on with our police support model,
and better
dealing with issues that we have there. I talked about the freshman academy deans, and that's where they're going, because they find that the research has shown in our district that the issues come in with the freshman kids, if you can get them on track and keep the behavioral issues to a minimum, greater chance that they'll graduate, greater chance they'll go on to some type of career that we can offer them an education to without having them drop off the map or or become just another statistic for us. The investment in the both the community schools, the mental health clinics there, I was fortunate enough to have a tour of the new NAP school, which is absolutely beautiful. I think it will serve the students.
The
and
concept
the community
seems
there.
Really progressive.
And the thing of that is that behind the scenes we're tracking that to see is it working. So it's not as though we're just saying okay, let's try this. We're finding that the emphasis on the early 4K. And other early portions of the childhood learning side to be able to give a child support helps them, and we're believing that we're going to see. I'm waiting for Monday to see some of the academic results that'll be presented to us, but we believe that there's going to be a continued improvement. But it doesn't come in 10 and 15% increments. You look that the trend just keeps going up, and that we do that we are able to, and see the tough part of that is balancing the investments. And that is that you have to have funding and continual funding to do these things.
Right.
And unfortunately, sometimes it gets to be a...
And the funding has decreased. Yeah.
Well, we have another, you know, Mark Duff, our chief financial officer, is an extreme wizard at getting things put together so that we have a wide variety of investments that we have going on. And I can't say enough about his work, and because my background is in finance and accounting, I'm hoping to add some value to the board that way. So,
all right. Well, Bob, it has been a pleasure. Before we leave, what do you think that a parent can do to get more involved and learn more and know more with regards to the school board and in the public school system, period?
Well, first of all, I would recommend if you're going to be involved in something, be involved in your child's education.
Yes.
Just try to support whatever you can as far as homework, reading, giving them the encouragement they need. It's a tough job for parents at this point in time, and that goes for people in the community that where someone doesn't have the right family structure. If you can provide some time, so start there. If you get involved with the kids, you'll find out what's going on because you'll have to be at parent-teacher conferences. You'll have to see things. You'll see. If I was going to recommend somebody get involved, what do they want to know from the board? I'm finding that, like I said, a lot of the thing you can go to the website. You can see the things, everything. Everything is out there for the public to see.
And that is true. So true.
Attend a work session. Attend a board meeting if you want. Board meetings allow 3-minute public comment, but the work sessions are such. One of the things I would say is come out and vote. What some people don't understand is that there were 38,000 voters last time. 10,000 of them did not vote for a school board member. Now, with the way that the election went, think about 10,000 people went to the polls, they voted for someone, but they didn't vote or select in their district a school board member. How much different would the races have been, and why is that?
Right.
And so one of the things that I'm trying to do is to, as a board member, I've in my discussion, I've kind of challenged myself to see if I can be as good as Dr. Hawes is. She's everywhere. I mean, I turn on and take a look at prom, and she's opening doors at prom. So I'm trying to challenge myself to say, can I put the board face to that so people realize the board is there making decisions with the best respect to our kids? And so I would look on the website. If not, come to a meeting. Come to a work
involved.
Session. Work sessions are always the best because you can see what we discuss. Not exactly the most
Glamorous.
Glamorous, but the best things there. So.
Well, thank you again, Bob. Listeners, I appreciate you being with us this Saturday. And listen to us each Saturday. Community Matters is for you to let you know what is going on in our community and how you can get involved to make sure that every piece of it benefits us as a whole. Thank you.
Thanks again.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. WGTD.